This is Genin.
Good evening. This is HNN. The Holotables News Network is your not even remotely close to round the clock Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes news, reactions, reviews, crafting, and more stories. I'm Sir Georges, your host, along with my distinguished co-host, Celiac Sarah.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I am very happy that we have a brand new game mode coming.
Yeah.
Not just a reskin of something else, but it sounds like a very unique new game mode coming called Conquest. And then we got a surprising addition to the Mandalorian faction. Yeah, that's a thing now. But the Armorer, who I did not expect them to bring from the show. It's this little one or two episode character.
Yeah.
But it's perfect for a game. And I really like the way they brought her in.
Agreed.
I want to talk about first, Sarah.
I am pretty excited about Conquest, considering I know nothing about it. I read it. I think there's just like a lot of stuff they haven't told us, so I'm curious.
Yeah, let's go for it. So they gave us the new road ahead, and in the new road ahead, they talked about how, yes, they did promise a lot last year about how they've been delivering content more frequently and flexibly. And not only did we get Galactic Challengers, but now, relatively soon, especially for the Galaxy of Heroes feed of work, we've got a new game mode called Conquest. And they say that it is where players will face a series of escalating battles on a sector map. It allows them to choose which encounters and bonuses they will meet. Each map will provide a variety of matchups that will challenge players to pick the squad that is best suited to take on the enemy and use their whole roster in new ways.
Yeah.
Conquest will appear alongside Galactic War, so the thing that we auto-sim every day haven't started the game 5 years ago. Conquest will appear alongside Galactic War on a new table that they both are part of called the Galactic Battles table. And then Galactic War will be retitled War, and then it'll be alongside Conquest, which are both on the Galactic Battles table.
Yes.
Galactic Challenges may also move to the table for the future play, just because it has the word Galactic in it.
it's sound logic, right? Like maybe.
The new Conquest event will run roughly once per month, with the event lasting for several weeks. That makes me think Grand Arena.
Yeah. It sounds like tournament-y style.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to get a high score on the leaderboard, each new league, Rhodium, Kyber.
Yeah.
During each event, this makes me think they're going to have three or four events that are week long, very similar to Grand Arena.
Okay.
During each event, campaigns are organized into a series of sectors, each of which features a map of branching paths with combat missions and special modes. Players will face off against a variety of different player versus environment squads as they battle through the sectors, and the difficulty of combat missions and their associated rewards will scale up as the player progresses through each sector, culminating in a boss battle at the end of each sector.
Yeah, so that makes me think of, did you play Marvel Strike Force?
Yeah.
It makes me think of the raids and how like the raids are broken down into the paths. And then every once in a while, there's like a mini boss there.
Yeah, yeah. I could see it be like that. I didn't think of that, but now that you mention it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what are your initial impressions off hearing that?
I was a little worried it was going to be like Blitz from Marvel Strike Force, because it sounded like you were going to have to rifle through your whole roster, which is kind of what they did with Blitz. Like, you would just use a team and then use your next team and then use your, and it was so time consuming. This makes me think it's like Galactic War, but that instead of following only one path, like maybe you can go, it's like a tree branching off kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can see that.
That's how I'm picturing it.
Yeah, it does sound like, let's say you'll have at least three or four different options of, okay, I'm better with my Rebels than I am First Order. Like, maybe you could just stick with Dark Side the entire time.
Yeah.
Path that will go that way. What stands out to me that I like is that it sounds a lot like a single player territory battle.
Mm-hmm.
Combat missions, special nodes. But better than a territory battle is that at the end of it, there's a boss battle.
Yeah.
Same enemies trying to make it through. They get a little bit harder in each phase of territory battle.
Mm-hmm.
Boss battle, probably with some kind of special condition. So whichever path you take, it'll culminate in a boss battle specific to that faction, that branch you took.
Yeah, like I'm picturing like literally coming to a fork in the road kind of thing. And you either have to go down this path and you can only use a light side team, light side character team. And this path is only a dark side character team. And then maybe the next battle after that, it splits again. And if you went light side, it's like, okay, you can only use, or not even only use, but say it'll be like, you have to have a droid on your team, or you have to have this on your team kind of thing. Like I'm picturing very specific requirements based off the path you take.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. But I will say, my initial fear was that it was going to be Blitz, and having read the whole post, I don't think it's going to be Blitz.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think so either.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing on, as players complete combat missions, mission feats, sector level feats, or event level feats, they'll earn conquest key cards, will be used to unlock successively better crates of rewards, which, similar to Galactic Challenges, will be paid out at the end of the event, as well as intermediate rewards, which can be immediately claimed.
Yep. It's gonna be like, I can't even really think of something to describe it to.
Yeah, this is very new and unique compared to their other game modes.
I'm curious with the immediate rewards. Are they like, say it's stun guns, for instance? No, that's a bad example. But if it's something like, do you have to use it right away? And is it only for that game mode? Or is it rewards that you can like take and apply to your roster overall?
I think... I'm pulling a lot from Grand Arena. So in Grand Arena, every battle you complete, you have immediate rewards with gold.
Yes.
Week or so, you also have immediate rewards when you get to a new league, Bronzium to Rhodium, etc. So those are all immediate rewards while you're still waiting for the final payout, depending on who wins that week thing or the end of the season. And it sounds like they've got a ton of different levels to which they're going to reward you. So it'll be really fractured, it'll be staggered like Grand Arena is.
Yeah. But I like that we're going to get it at both times. Like, you'll get it right away and you'll also get it at the end.
Yeah, me too. It is interesting that you mentioned getting feats or rewards that can only help you in that game mode. Because up to now, we haven't had anything in the game that only helps you in one area.
Mm-hmm.
Rewards are towards building up your roster. But with this new game mode, they're introducing a new shipment that will contain consumable items only useful within Conquest.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Conquest-specific items will only be available when an event is running and only apply to Conquest. One of the rewards players will earn are Conquest coins, which can be used to purchase items from this shipment.
To use right away in Conquest.
Yes. Now I'm unsure of how this will play out.
Mm-hmm.
But initial reaction is that I think it'll be really cool because without breaking the game in other areas, you can say, okay, I'm going to throw this plus 50% offense buff onto Supreme Leader Kylo just so that he can wreck people sooner.
Mm-hmm.
You could never do that in the raid or arena because that would just be even more game breaking than the strong Galactic Legends in the first place. But this is a way that, similar to how Galactic Challenges, you know, have those modifiers.
Yeah.
We can choose what modifiers to add to our characters to help us get through this conquest.
I feel like it's also going to make it a little bit more of a puzzle because there could be modifiers that maybe you'll want to save for specific types of nodes if they have different like buffs or anything like that in them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm curious.
Yeah. And then there will be special nodes. So when I heard special nodes before, I thought maybe, you know, how the Wat Tambor mission.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make sense as well in this type of conquest single player stuff. But it says between combat missions, players will encounter two different special nodes, Data Disc and Merchant. Data Disc are powerful items players will acquire that can be equipped to give different types of benefits. Data discs can be mixed and matched to give different strategic benefits. However, each data disc has an associated cost equipped. The maximum value of data discs can be equipped per sector.
Oh.
Data discs will last for the duration of the conquest and can be swapped at any point for a small cost. This is me where I need some pictures to see how the game mode is going to work before this all makes sense.
Yeah. I'm picturing like, I don't even know, like equipping like another weapon or a new, like a seventh mod, like that kind of thing where you can swap it at a cost.
Yeah.
But like
a specific mod slot.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's not a mod, but I'm picturing that kind of a thing where it's something that is swappable, but it's going to cost you to do it.
Yeah. That's what I think too.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think too. Now, I don't know if it'll cost you gold or long lasting stuff, or if it'll just cost you conquest coins.
Right.
Now the other special node are merchants. They appear at different points, offering a selection of different items for purchase, including consumable items more powerful and valuable than what you can purchase from the shipment. If a player elects to visit a merchant, they may revisit this merchant at any point during this.
This, when I read this part about the merchant, I immediately thought of playing Super Mario Brothers, and you go to Toad's house and you can pick you can pick a little chest and you get a reward.
For real, all of this is screaming Mario to me.
Yeah. I'm not mad about it. I think it's awesome.
Like, go to, get in the warp pipe, choose which world you want to go to. Go to giant enemy world where you have to fight Galactic Legends. Go to Mandalore. Yep, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. I completely missed the part about stuff from the merchant being more powerful. I read that, for some reason, it just didn't trigger in my brain that, like, it would be better to buy it from the merchant versus shipment.
Yeah, yeah. What I thought was cool was that I'm sure there'll be a give and take of, like, maybe you can only choose so many different paths to take.
Mm-hmm.
But you get as many battles if you choose a path with a merchant. But by giving yourself the opportunity to buy from a merchant,
mm-hmm.
it'll help you get further in the end if you might not have been able to survive the entire way. But it's cool how the merchant will be there the entire event. Like, week one, you could be like, okay, I'm going to take this path with the merchant. And now the rest of the month, this will be my hondo, my coming back to. Like, hey, you want to buy some death sticks?
I'm curious, though, because, like, the path thing, and we don't know anything about this, so this is me just wondering. If you're in a sector and you make your choice and you're going down your path, can you work your way? Like, if you've beaten a node, can I now go backwards and do the other path if I wanted to? Or am I stuck? If I can't move backwards. So the nodes that I don't choose to do, I never get to do them.
Right, right. I doubt you could go back.
Yeah. I'm thinking, like, I hate to compare it to Marvel, but I'm picturing their raids, and their raids, for people who are unfamiliar, are like a path. It's a branch system. And you go along your nodes, and once you go, you can only go a certain direction. And once you pass a node, you can't go back to it, which sucks, because if you accidentally miss one of your nodes and everyone is ahead of you, you can't complete the raid in that game. But I'm curious if it's like that, or if you can, like, double back later, or what the deal is.
Yeah. Well, part of that might be that they also have a new energy type. So it won't just be play as much as you can, go until you die. There's a new energy that goes along with it that goes into how, like, when you can do a combat mission. There's a feature called stamina. Unlike energy, stamina is only depleted when a character successfully completes a combat mission. As a character's stamina falls, their effectiveness in combat will also diminish.
Sad.
A character with zero stamina cannot be brought into battle. However, stamina can be restored either through passive regeneration, so just waiting like a mm-hmm. day, or through the use of stamina consumables.
That also screams Blitz. Just saying.
Yeah. They probably did look at what was working for Strike Force and try to turn it into a new game mode. But so, since there's an energy, maybe you can double back to other paths.
Yeah.
Maybe you won't have enough energy to do everything, so you wouldn't want to, in some cases, double back if further ahead are better rewards. Or you don't want to double back because that will eat up too much of your roster with lowering their stamina.
Yeah.
Now that part right there, the stamina, that is how they're going to make it so that you need a wide pool of characters, a deep roster, and not just one or two great arena teams.
Yeah. And you're going to have to be strategic about who you use and who you save and all of that kind of stuff.
Yes. I like that.
Mm-hmm. And that is very much like Blitz. Like you can use the same team over and over again, but it will cost you quote unquote consumables. Or you can wait X amount of time and then use it again for free. But I'm curious, like, I like how they phrased it. I like that they said they become less effective. So does that mean like their protection, maybe it's like, okay, your health protection and offense pools go down by 20% or something like that. Like,
right, yeah. And will it be like Galactic War where once a character dies, they're dead?
Yeah.
So maybe not only do you have to worry about their stamina, their effectiveness diminishing, but if you push it too far, risk it too risky with using a weaker, less stamina character, but then dying, and then they're gone the rest of the event.
Mm-hmm. And is it like Galactic War in the sense that if you failed the mission or failed the node, have you now, and say you only killed one enemy, is the team quote unquote preloaded?
Right.
Like that kind of thing. Because I remember when I was way, way, way back before you could sim Galactic War and I hadn't beaten it yet, there were days where I would have to, you know, retry nodes over and over again.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Way, way, way back. Way back when.
Galactic War was so much fun for me.
Galactic War gave me anxiety. This whole game gives me anxiety some days.
If they had better rewards, harder opponents, I would still be into Galactic War. Because mm-hmm. that was the game mode where, from start to finish, you had your roster, and they, like, whenever they got hurt or whenever someone died, that was it all the way to the end.
I remember you'd be like, okay, this guy's in the yellow, but I'm pretty sure I can get him back up. I'm going to switch this guy out for a healer.
Oh, next time, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious if it'll be similar to that.
Yeah, I hope it is. I hope it is. Because that would be fun. Because I remember I used to, that was why one of my very first characters I invested in was Asajj Ventress.
Okay.
With Asajj, you could beef her up enough to where she can finish a wave, finish one of the nodes with her AoE,
mm-hmm.
get to come back in the next one with all her cooldowns refreshed, plus the bonus turn meter for killing some bad guys. Because you could come into the next match with characters you've already used, and if they were at half or 70% turn meter bar, they'd come into the next match with an advantage over the enemy by starting with a higher turn meter bar.
Because of her.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
In general, like Ewoks were great for that game mode.
Yeah.
In the match with whoever was about to take a turn or so, they come into the next round with that much speed meter still so that you can decide what turn order to go in. I don't know. It was fun. That's what I remember back when I did it a year ago, 2 years ago.
Finn wrecked Galactic War. It was, oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah, the exposes. Yes.
So good.
Overall, does this excite you more than Galactic Challenges?
Yes. I feel like with Galactic Challenges, I don't hate them. Like I do them, and if I can't get all the feats, then whatever, that's fine. The one thing with Galactic Challenges is maybe this will be the case too, but I feel very like penned into a box. Like if it's a Mandalorian theme, I feel like I have to use a Mandalorian set. And I feel like this is a me problem. This is my brain. If the feat is just to clear it and it's Mandalorian themed and I have to use a different squad, I feel a little guilty that I didn't do it with my Mandalorian squad. It's and it's stupid because the feat is literally just clear it. Doesn't matter what squad you use, just clear it. And I'm like, oh, but like it's a Mandalorian theme. And my Mandalorians suck.
Yeah. Exactly the same way.
Yeah. So I'm sure this is gonna be similar and depending on what they make you do, but I'm more excited for it because this actually feels like it maybe will be like a mini raid. Like personal raid, not a raid, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
And I really like PvE content, so I think this will be up my alley. It's definitely gonna up my in-game time, which could be bad, but whatever.
At least it'll be in-game time that you're more excited about. Instead of just a monotonous, okay, same battle I've done, but now I've got to throw on assault battles auto 30 minutes.
Or you mean like last night when we did our raid and literally half an hour before the raid, I was like, oh, I don't want to do the raid.
You didn't want to do the raid?
I did not. I don't like it.
The new raid already?
I just don't like being forced to go on at a specific time.
Yeah. That's true.
And sit there in airplane mode.
If we could get to where half the guild could complete it without the other half, then it could get back to where, you know, people decide whether they do or don't. Because, you know, it's always been at a set time. I think you're just not used to participating in them.
Accurate. Yes, that is true. But occasionally, like, I show up, I'm like, oh yeah, there's a raid, I'll go throw a team in it.
Now you're dependent upon.
Yeah, now I'm like, oh, I actually have to be here. Cool. No, but I'm excited. I think it'll be cool. I actually just randomly, this thought popped into my head right now. For this, I'm curious if there's gonna be like a join kind of thing if your roster locks. I guess it wouldn't lock if you can buy things in a shop and tweak things. You can't really lock your roster.
Yeah, that's true.
I just answered my own question.
This sounds like a purely single player. About you and what you're able to achieve game mode, then there is no reason for them to try and lock, or because all of that was meant to keep you from last minute trying to get an advantage over an opponent or them not being able to predict.
Yeah.
But with this, like, this is pure PvE, single player, not guild focused, no one else to keep track of what's going on with your roster.
I like it. I want to know what color the new energy is going to be.
Yeah. That's a good question.
These are the questions that pop into my head.
Or what the look is going to be?
Yeah.
Or that energy? Yeah.
Will the sectors be like different? Oh, I just had an idea. Oh, what if the sectors are sectors of a ship?
That would be cool. Or what if you're riding a ship through the galaxy to different sectors?
Right? At first I was going to say, would the sectors be different planets? And then I was like, oh, ships have sectors on them.
You get to pick one ship from your roster to be your hub, and then you get to move the ship through the galaxy to each new battle location.
I thought you were going to say you could pick one ship from your roster and that was it. Like,
just as your icon.
Oh, like your Monopoly player.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Down with your hound too.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But the bottom line is that this does sound fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for it to come whenever it does.
It sounds like, yeah, they say we're still developing and tuning.
Yeah.
So.
But they had a lot of details to share.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely past the ideation phase.
Yeah.
I think somebody has actually worked on coding it. They've got a prototype going. I'm sure there's been beta testing already by the sound of it. So
yeah, it sounds like they're already doing, I don't even know what it's beta testing, I guess. It sounds like they're playing it in their own little CG server.
I think they even said something. Let me pull it back up. They said something. We're still developing and tuning. Yeah, the very last paragraph. And we'll have more to share with you in the coming weeks before the event. But early feedback has been promising, and we can't wait to introduce Conquest to the holotable.
Mm.
They've already got feedback from testers.
From who?
I would guess testers. Somebody has, like, they wouldn't say early feedback within our own team, because that's dumb.
Who's testing it?
I think they still have a select group of people that they have in a beta program.
I want to test it.
They said we'll have more to share with you in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that means the next coming weeks are before the event, the first event, or if it means they won't talk about it again until the coming week of the event.
Oh.
But I took it as we are now in the coming weeks before the event. So I would say within a month or two, we can
probably. Yeah. That's how I took it. I took it as this is coming in the next month or two.
That's how I took it at first. But reading it just now, I realized it could be interpreted to let us know more closer to the actual release date.
Yeah, if it's in like April, maybe we don't hear anything until mid-March.
Right.
Hmm.
But no, I hope it will just be a couple months.
I'll take it. Yeah. We're already in February, man.
Oh, right. April's not even that far away.
No.
Now, it's been a while since we had H&M with the holidays.
Yes.
But we are her release, and I wanted to go over her a little bit at least.
Yeah, for sure.
I like any kind of new buff anybody character, like a Watt Tambor or a Hermit Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to read through the armor for us?
Yeah, I can read it. Vox, let me just pull it up. Voxen and I went over a little bit.
Okay, then we don't have to go over the whole kit. I'll say my two cents on it then.
Yeah. Give me your. I want to know what you think, because I read it and she sounded very interesting to me. I liked her kit a lot. I just haven't played with her yet, obviously, because she's only, what, 3 stars? She was a marquee.
I don't think I've touched her until today because of the new Mandalorian. But my initial thoughts with her were that her basic is dumb. I don't like that the target has to have armor. I don't like the target has armor shred for her to gain the Beskar ingot.
Mm-hmm.
You should just get it for using the basic. It's so hard to get armor shred. Only I think 3 characters in the game have it.
Yeah. Sabine,
her armorer, and
Zalbar. I was blanking on his name.
Yeah. Zalbar.
Big Z. He's got it.
So you're going to make her basic only helpful at all if they have armor shred, which she only does with one of her specials. Her basic doesn't do armor shred, and it doesn't benefit from the Beskar ingots unless the opponent has armor shred. So it's a bit backwards. I don't like it.
That's fair.
Now, her two specials are good. I like the one that calls all Mandalorians to assist and inflicts armor shred. I like the earn your signet, the one that gives Beskar armor to an... I think this is a whole new level of buffing, better than Watt. Watt's a close second, but better than Grandmaster Hermit Yoda, better than stuff like that. There's three stacks of Beskar armor you put onto somebody, stays with them, doesn't disappear or anything, and just from armorer doing it one time onto an ally, they get 100% counter chance and can't be critically hit. Watt doesn't have the power to give someone counter chance.
No. Counter chance is huge.
Yes. A galactic.
And like 100% counter chance is. Man.
And can't be critically hit.
Yeah.
So that's like. Yeah. General Skywalker's. You know, unleashed, you killed all my allies mode.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've also got recovering 30% protection at the end of the turn. One of the better buffs that Watt gives with that tank thing that he has. And the plus 50% defense and plus 15% health up that the first stack of Beskar armor gives. So being able to give all of these at one time to one.
It's nuts. Now, did you read in the, I don't think they say it in her kit. I think it was in the dev notes or whatever, that the stacks of armor, they don't add. So like if she has one, you can't give her, if you can't give another one and then they get two, you have to give how many, many.
Right. I did read that. That is a little confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure why they did that.
Yeah, I don't get it, because you would think they would be able to code that. You can code like stacking offense and stuff. I don't know. I know nothing.
I doubt it was a limitations thing. I think they just went with it as a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Okay, so the one thought I had based on realism was that you can't just like attach a new piece of Beskar onto you. You would need to build the whole thing all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got two already, that's useless without her having three at one time to make a whole new piece or something.
Right.
But it's
okay.
Mando piece by piece.
Okay. I think you are right, and it's just a choice thing, but I think a lot of people didn't realize that until you actually went into the dev notes and everything and read it.
Yeah. I would not have thought it worked that way.
No.
Because plus one is three.
Yeah.
Plus one, you're still at two. You're like, what just happened? Didn't I just add new Beskar to like?
Honestly, if I did that in game, I'd be like, why isn't it working? It's broken.
It's glitched.
And like, I know I'm really bad at math. You didn't see this the other day in our guild chat. I'm pretty sure, or maybe you did see it. I fully believed and told our entire guild that 7,100 minus 6,900 is a 2,000 difference, and that is definitely wrong. So I would for sure be like, why isn't this working? One plus one, this should be two.
And yes, I do do want to go back and listen and encourage everyone that hasn't to Sarah and Boxen's episode.
It's long. It's like 3 hours.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's long.
That's a road trip.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's fine. There was a, I don't even remember. I think Mandalorian, I think Armorer got released that day.
Yeah.
So it was like, well, we'll just talk about everything.
And then my other thoughts on Armorer, her leadership is adequate. Because 200% protection up is good and crit hit immunity. So I like the right out the gate, just some good instant survivability. So it's not an, it's not a huge leadership, but finally the first person that's linking Mandalorian characters together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
It's worth it. I mean, that's good enough. Good enough for me.
Yeah. I've been seeing Mandalorian, or sorry, Armorer already pop up in my arena.
Yeah. If you could get the AI to intelligently put her Beskar on somebody.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
And I know, I'm pretty sure I read, Ramius, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure in our guild, Ramius is working on Armorer for the raid to try her and see what she does. So.
That's cool. Yeah. He's putting some comments in the chat.
Yeah, he's hanging out.
That's very cool. They list synergy suggestions as Jedi Master Luke and Rey.
Yeah.
But they clearly are saying that the armor's buffs will work well with Galactic Legends.
Can you just imagine, like, Jedi Master Luke, who is already, like, you know, he's going to taunt, he's got all his protection, and then buffing him even more.
So he can't be critically hit.
And he's going to counter, and he's getting more defense or all right. This. Just everything.
Right. No. That'd be awful.
That'd be awful.
Especially since without landing critical hits, even a growing Supreme Leader Kylo would have a hard time getting through his health pool. Since a lot of what benefits Kylo when you increase his mastery from his specials, really increasing his crit damage, it's making his damage go up. So if he can't ever get a critical hit,
yeah,
run out of time.
You're gonna time out. Ooh.
Yep. That's pretty good.
Pretty good and pretty bad at the same time.
I'm worried. I don't want my dark side character.
Oh, I could see, like, as you were saying it, I could see, like, the light behind your eyes just being like, oh.
I don't want to give anyone any ideas.
That's fair.
Alone. Which brings us to our I Love You, I Know segment. And, you know, it's easy to get jaded by this game, but lately it's been pretty good. So, Sarah, what have you enjoyed the last couple weeks?
Not the raid.
What?
I don't know, whatever. I actually yesterday, finally, I've been saying I'm going to do this probably for like 2 months, finally subscribed to Hot Utils.
Oh,
and
what?
I bit the bullet. I was like, you know what tipped it over for me is he has now implemented new territory battle tools.
Really?
Yeah. So I can see now. It's going to be so much easier because now, like before when I was tracking, I'd be like, who hasn't deployed? And I would go in and I have to like find out someone's ship character GP and someone ship GP and see what they've deployed and do all this math and back and forth. And it's just irritating. And now right in game, you can see who's done their combat missions, how many waves they got in the combat missions, and who's deployed. And it breaks it down by ship and character deployment. So I know if you've done ships, but haven't done characters. Wow. And I was like, done, take my money. So anyway, I remodded my whole roster last night for the first time in probably like a year and a half.
Wow.
It's completely unrecognizable. Like, I was watching the changes, and I don't know if you've ever used Grand Ivory's. It gives you like a modding score. So it'll look at what your mod set is and give you a total value. And then it'll show you the suggestion set and give you a total value of that one. And if it's higher, it's obviously a better set. Yeah. And then it gives you like the percentage increase or decrease. There were some characters where it was like plus 73% increase.
Wow.
I was like, this is clearly, I was way overdue for a remod. I had massive health pool jumps. Like, I had my Galactic Ray went from, granted, I'll be completely transparent. My Galactic Ray, I just threw whatever mods I had laying around on her. I didn't really mod her with any care. but she went from like 170,000 health to 220,000 health.
It's different.
It's a massive difference, and I'm pretty excited. I'm actually, I don't even like Territory War. I'm actually excited for it because I want to see what my roster does.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. What have you enjoyed lately?
I do not have hot util.
Sorry.
I have enjoyed the new raid. So I think I've got four good teams that I like to use. Phase one, my Padme Galactic Republic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've nailed down the strategy pretty well, where it's usually at least 4 or 5%. And it's all about avoiding hitting the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Or Kenobi alive as long as possible. That's fun for me. Phase two, I like to use a Vader team. That one kind of sucks. I don't know what to do yet to try and strategize and get him alive longer, get his second or third saber throw out there. But I still like being able to use Vader lead again and doing some kind of damage over time strategy. That's fun. In phase three, where I use my Supreme Leader Kylo, and half the time I'm able to get it working. I think I had a breakthrough last time we did it. So I think now I know how to get the 20%.
Mm-hmm. There were a few times where you got like, it wasn't last night because I was sitting in a different spot last night than the other Tuesday that we raided. But there was one night where I think you said you had, I think it was like 12 or 13%. And then you came in, you're like, I actually posted like 23. Yeah.
I had no idea that I had stopped it when when I was ready to activate his ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
That using his ultimate plus 1 or 2 turns after was going to be a whole nother 12-13%.
That's nuts.
That was awesome.
Can I just say, I'm gonna interrupt your teams as a quick PSA for airplane mode. The safest way, because you just said this, I'm saying this because people don't know this. The safest way to airplane mode is to stop your run 2 turns before you're gonna die. Report in with your damage, be conservative, and then you don't have to worry about accidentally posting and screwing over your guild because you're still alive.
Oh, so funny. the number of mess ups that we have had is painful.
Who do you use in phase four though? Because phase four, I like phase four sucks.
The phase four. I still don't think I have a good team, but based on what I have left, I like what I'm able to do. I use Jedi. I don't have Jedi Master Luke. So I tried out Jedi Knight Luke's lead, but it didn't seem to work well. So I'm doing Jedi Knight Revan's lead with Jedi Knight Luke, General Skywalker, and Bindo, Jolly Bindo. Is light side Bastila, but she's only gear 12. So in the meantime, I tried using Grandmaster Yoda. He dies too much because he's too weak. I think I was actually doing better with old Ben now that I've got him up in preparation for Jedi Master Luke.
Mm-hmm.
So the fifth, if you have Jedi Master Luke, should probably be him.
Have you tried, or do you use your Shock T with your Padme team in phase one? Have you tried her?
She is not Relic 5 either.
Ah.
I do wonder if she would be better in phase one. That's where I will try her once I do get her to Relic 5.
Mm-hmm.
But if she doesn't help improve the Padme team, then yes, she might. No, I don't think she would do well.
Before I had Jedi Master Luke, I had her in, because I can't remember which move it is of hers, one of her specials. I would just give it to General Skywalker all the time, and I found that it quote unquote worked for phase four.
Yes, that's my whole strategy is about having General Skywalker kick butt. So I just start with Jedi Knight Revan, swap turn meter to Jedi Knight Luke. Have him call General Skywalker with this, giving him that buff that makes it so that he ignores defense. And then basically just have Jedi Knight Luke and General Skywalker take as many turns as possible. And they usually get 4% no problem.
Hmm.
But if you can get 4 or 5% in each phase, that's solid.
Yeah.
That's a 25 person takedown of the raid.
Yeah. I remember someone in our guild had asked me about a phase four team. This was before we had even beaten it. I was like, if you can get 2%, awesome. Like, good job. The phase four is insane. I just can't with it.
I know. Now the team that I wish I could use, I love how people are using Rex with Rey, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because Rey keeps people from dying, only getting one damage hit. And then Rex is able to pop off his big aerial blast. So I don't think I'm ever going to get my Jawas up. I'm not going to do that thing that came out when the raid first showed up. But I will work on getting Rey so that I can try to use Rex with her.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. I will say I have made like my last two runs, I've been like half watching TV, half doing it kind of thing. And I'll do it. And I'm like, oh, I made a mistake. And it completely, for me, if I make a mistake, I'm like, oh, there it goes. I'm down, going to be down 7% now. So my last two runs have not been clean, but usually it's pretty good. And if you don't use it in P1, I use that team in phase four, that Rey Rex, whatever squad. And she did 5 or 6% with the same the exact same modding strategy and loadout, which I would think actually that you would want to tweak your modding strategy for phase four because it's a totally different scenario. Yeah. But I thought it was pretty good to know if you miss like phase one with it, just do it in phase four.
Yeah. That is cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I'm glad we both love the raid.
Eventually they're gonna let us sim it. Maybe. My-
3 or 4 years before that. On to the Discord corner where we answer fan questions. Senator Mando asked, have you ever noticed R2 doesn't have a ship? What ship do you think he will appear in if he does?
I have noticed this because I'm annoyed that he doesn't have a ship. I feel like he should be in a ship.
R2 has been in multiple ships.
He has.
So it'd be hard to say that he deserves one ship. I think they try to keep legendaries from having ships.
Do they?
Because then it's another hurdle. Then you not only need to have the ship, but you also have to have a legendary, which is too much of an ask, I think, in their mind. I don't think any legendary has a ship.
Who else is legendary? Isn't Palpatine a legendary?
Palpatine's a legendary.
You're right.
Right. They gave Palpatine. He's the very first one. So he's like, you're right. Maybe, I guess my theory's wrong.
Maybe your theory is right in terms of him having been on too many ships.
Thrawn has a ship, but his ship is also a legendary ship.
Yeah, and I feel like capital ships are also different ballpark because it's a capital ship.
Han and Chewbacca have ships.
Oh, yeah.
Ship. Okay, my theory is wrong, but I don't care if he doesn't have a ship because he's not a pilot. I don't think he deserves a ship. He's a dumb droid.
What?
He did nothing to change the course of history. He let Anakin fall to the dark side.
Oh my goodness.
Not prevent the First Order from rising.
Oh my goodness. This is just like cutting. These are low blows. Man.
That little droid should have said more than just beep boop beep boop.
I'm so sad. I actually don't even know what to say to counter argue this right now.
Good argument.
But it's R2. That's my argument. It's R2.
He's just a little punk.
Oh my goodness.
He's running around insulting people. You could have been the chosen one, R2. You survived through all of it. There's nothing to help anybody.
I'm so... I have no words. I disagree.
Think on that. Let your view of R2 slowly morph into hate.
No, that would never happen. Mm-mm. No. I'm trying to think of, but this is the problem, is my droid memory is clouded with a lot of what BB-8 does.
Yeah.
And yeah. I know that BB-8 does a bunch of stuff in pose ship and all this kind of stuff. And I'm trying to think if R2 does something. I feel like he overrides some kind of computer system somehow. We're gonna say he does for argument's sake.
He does some good things, but I don't think he does so by choice. I think it's like his master tells him to. He's like, fine, I guess I gotta help out.
That's the more like K2. K2 does everything because Cassian tells him to do it.
True.
He literally is like, literally says, because Cassian told me.
True, true. Yeah, you're right. But I don't dislike K2 as much. K2 didn't have opportunity to meet me. Whereas R2 is there the whole ride and just let things get worse and worse.
He does his little like head spin around, makes his little screaming noise. It's quality entertainment.
I'm half joking, but thought it would be
fun. A lot of people are saying that R2 should be in Red 5.
Red 5.
That would mean we would need another Luke.
Or give Jedi Knight Luke a shit.
Or that. Also, Danimal, I do agree with you. BB-8, 1,000%, should be on Poe Dameron's ship. Because there is that line where Poe goes, BB-8, punch it. And BB-8, 100% punches. And the ship goes. That is definitely some co-pilot material.
Yeah. Although, for the sake of the game, the fewer the pilots on a ship, the better.
True. But my BB-8 is so strong and fast.
In a perfect world, all the ships would have the droids that go with them.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah.
Why not just double dip with R2? Have him be on Anakin's ship and on Luke's ship. And he'll just buff up both with his stats. Why not?
I was going to say, there's no one does that, right? No.
But droids are different. Droids have been on multiple ships.
Yeah.
Last but not least, let's head to Uncle Owen's Moisture Farm to talk about who and what we are currently farming in-game, because everyone knows work comes before going to Tashi Station to pick up power converters. So I am happy to talk about what I've been working on, because I finished getting my Sith Eternal Emperor. So now I have Sith Eternal Emperor, Relic 7, and...
Do you like them?
I do. I do like them now. Without the ultimate, he's trapped.
Okay. I'm seeing a lot of Sith Eternal Emperor in my arena now.
Without the ultimate, he's complete trash. With the ultimate, he gets just enough offense output power to where he can turn the tide of an arena battle in his favor. Mm-hmm. I still dislike that he gets rid of the ability to put disease out there. He gets rid of his special that gives him protection up, or cover 50% protection. Fifth move. He gets rid of both of those when he takes his ultimate. I think that's really lame. But purely in arena or PvP battle, once he gets his ultimate, it does change him a lot to where he is able to deal enough damage to wipe out the team. You know, that instant kill of two.
Yeah.
That does really help. So he's much better with the ultimate. He's not horrible. He's still probably is either third or fourth in the ranking of the Galactic Legends, I'd say. Because he still can't take on Supreme Leader Kylo at all. I still think he struggles versus Rey. That's really sketchy. But he does trounce. I think that's a word. He does trounce Jedi Master Luke pretty well.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if I am fighting one, I switch to my raid team. I can't like, I can't do it with Luke. And even with Rey, if I don't take him out fast enough, it's dicey.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so he's I think he's pretty even. I think he's a little worse than Rey when it comes to PvP, but can win if he's on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible against Kylo. Very good. Like, I can auto versus Jedi Master Luke team.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, obviously this also comes back to like how the AI plays him, right? When he's on defense.
Right. But so the simple fact that I can auto Jedi Master Luke teams now, that's an A+ in my book.
Yeah.
So no, I'm very happy with him now, but I am very annoyed still that he has no place in raids, that he has no long-term use of his ultimate. I think it's only good in PvP. Like, okay, I finally got it. Now I'm going to trigger it. And everyone now needs to die within a turn or two.
Yeah, because even if... Did you use him in the last territory battle we just had?
I did.
Does it... So if you used his ultimate in wave 2, let's say... You're screwed for the last 2 waves.
You're not screwed because his damage output, while not being good against bulky territory battle people, he can still link, he can still steal the protection, and his passive lets deceive slowly spread when someone takes their turn. So it's not the same as him being able to apply it with his basic, but it will spread some still.
But you don't get, like, once you've used it, it doesn't, like, reset each wave.
Once you use it, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still, because of his strong damage output at that point, I think he still got me 3 out of 4 in phase 4, wave 4. And it was almost a 4 out of 4 victory.
Mm-hmm.
So he is very good in territory battle. Whenever you use his ultimate, you don't need to wait till the 4th wave.
Right.
But it might be good too. But the main struggle is that everybody dies around him, no matter what.
Yeah, because he's just pulling their health pools for himself.
Yeah. He's pretty good there, but he's horrible in the raid. That's my main gripe.
I believe that.
What about you? What are you working on, Sarah?
I am working on my Supreme Kylo Ren farm, slowly but surely. So I decided that I did not want to have to grind Galactic Legends back to back. I thought it would be like too draining on my enjoyment of the game. So what I'm doing is I'm working back and forth between a Kylo Ren requirement and like a side project. So I'm finishing some of my random Jedis I haven't finished yet. But it's going good. It's going along. The worst part, to be honest, is the relic levels. The gearing is fine. I'm gearing them up to gear 13 faster than I can finish the relics on them.
Wow.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah. I think that even if you don't have somebody you particularly want to relic, okay. If you have the income of crystals, you could be refreshing the cantina.
Yeah.
Relic materials.
I need to refresh it. Because it's and now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, there are so many that I need to do. And of course I decided of course, I decided my first one for the Kylo Ren requirement, the closest one I had was Palpatine. So I would make him go to whatever relic level he needed first. And of course, he needs relic level 7.
Yeah.
So I'm going to refresh. You're right. I should stop being stingy with my crystals, especially now that I can climb.
Need to refresh. I refresh every day, no matter what. Even if there's a character I don't want to relic right now.
I just... usually do. Sometimes. Depending on what day of the week it is.
Once a week on Sunday?
Yeah. Let it hoard, and then I just spam it all after guild reset. yeah, no, you're right. I need to, because it's a grind, and I'm running out of maps faster. And now the sad thing is I'm also farming like that gear 1 stuff to make to scrap.
I knew that
I'm legitimately farming that stuff now.
Horrible. When they first came out with the scavenger shop, and I looked at just the absurd, like 200 of that first material needed to get a character to relic 7 or so.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to run out of that so quickly.
So fast.
Without any of those having a strong income. Like, they didn't take any of the useless challenge gear 10,000 things that you have and put that in the first one.
Even like my guild gear request thing now every day is like level gear 1 stuff just so I can scrap it.
Wow.
Every day I'm like, okay.
I think what I'm going to resort to is using crystals to buy them.
Oh man.
But I think it's 500 crystals for 100 of that first.
Mm-hmm. The only good thing right now is that first, I'm doing it on light side 1D because there's like a furnace in there. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there. And the only good thing right now is I also will get tickets for Luke's ultimate. So oh, yeah. It's kind of good, but also like this is the gear I'm farming. I'm not farming Kairos. I'm farming this.
Yeah, that's horrible.
So yay. That's it though. That's all.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us this week, everybody. That was a fun show.
Yeah.
Next time we'll have even more info on Conquest or some new raid teams to talk about. Sarah, get theory crafting in the meantime.
On my raid teams. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay. I can tell you that Jedi Trading Raid does not work.
Oh no.
Does not work.
With no turn meter, bonus turn meter.
No.
On to the bad guys.
No. It's no bueno.
It doesn't work either.
What doesn't work?
Nate.
He does count. He counters.
Another useless droid.
He counters and then he puts tenacity down.
At least he's not wasting air.
Oh man. Come on.
Just joking. That ought to do. Until next time, shoot home.